with the sixth pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Daniel Jones, quarterback at Duke.
You can't keep getting away with this! You can't keep getting away with it!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into the recap of the New York Giants draft class, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Smash the subscribe button. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. You already know the deal. Shout out to you if you came out to Hudson Station and watched the draft of the bar with me before I got obliterated after the Daniel Jones pick. It was nice to meet those who came out. Weiss, let's jump right into it. We both are not feeling great about the Daniel Jones pick, although I feel like for the most part, we have agreed on pretty much everything over the last few months in regards to the New York Giants, even dating back to last season. And I feel like today is maybe one of the few times recently we've disliked the Daniel Jones pick, but have different perspectives on it. And I feel like people are actually going to enjoy that back and forth, because I don't think we've had like a big podcast disagreement since we fought about Jerry Reese like 2 years ago. So yeah. We've been pretty much aligned on the same page here. So it might be interesting to see each of our individual perspectives on the Jones pick. I'll let you start and take it away, and we can go from there.
Well, before we start, I just want to say that you and I both are rooting for Daniel Jones.
Absolutely, like, and I want that on the record.
We're all rooting.
But
we're
all rooting. To be proven wrong.
Right.
I do not want to have to watch shitty football for 2 years only to pray that Trevor Lawrence falls into our lap if he even pans out to be as good as he was advertised his rookie or his freshman season in college, right? We want Daniel Jones to be good. We want to go into future drafts not needing to find a fucking quarterback, because it's like the hardest thing to do.
Right. So let's start. Daniel Jones. Here's what I'll say. The Giants were right to take a quarterback at 6 rather than waiting until 17. I think that's something that I agree with them with. When it comes to Daniel Jones, was it the right pick or was it the wrong pick? I'm not going to sit here and shit on Daniel Jones or say this and that. The only thing I will say is that when it comes to this draft and when it comes to Dave Gettleman's legacy here and everything around that, it's going to be centered around one thing: whether or not Daniel Jones pans out or doesn't pan out. Yep. And I spoke about this on Friday, I believe, on Twitter. I said, this could be one of the biggest all-time flops in sports history. Because you and I both agree on this, that the quarterback position is the most important position in all of sports. There's only 32 of those jobs open in the world. And if Daniel Jones eventually becomes the starting quarterback, which he probably will, he'll enter that elite class. Now, why will this be an all-time flop if it doesn't work out? Because, Ethan, last year, and I hate to keep going back to it, but last year they passed on 3 quarterbacks: Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen, and I'll throw in Lamar Jackson. And they probably would have passed on Baker Mayfield as well, but we're not going to count him because he went number one overall.
Yeah.
This year, they passed on Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock to take Daniel Jones. And to make matters worse, what could make matters worse, is Sam Darnold went across the street to the New York Jets, and Dwayne Haskins went down I-95 to your divisional rival, Washington Redskins. So if Daniel Jones doesn't work out, and Dwayne Haskins turns around Washington, that franchise that's been just an abomination, you know, since Daniel Snyder took over, and Sam Darnold turns around that New York Jets franchise, and the Giants don't get this right, it'll haunt them forever. They will never be able to escape out of this until they get it right. So this better work out. I'm not going to sit here and shit on Daniel Jones or say anything I haven't already said. All I'm going to say on this pick is that we're going to find out if this is going to work out. I think we're going to find out fairly quickly. And if it doesn't, this will be talked about for years to come.
Yeah. One of the things that I want to touch on a little bit, and it's a, I guess it's an idiom, right? We'll see. If you think you're the smartest person at the poker table, there's a very good chance you are, in fact, not the smartest person at the poker table. Dave Gettleman taking Daniel Jones at 6 is one of two things to me. It either reeks of arrogance, which is all we've seen out of this man since he took over as the general manager, or it reeks of John Mara and Chris Mara. Those are the only two options for me. Now, I'll agree with you. The entire Dave Gettleman tenure as GM of the New York Giants, however long it lasts, is going to ride on Daniel Jones. Whether or not he becomes the franchise quarterback, and we'll figure that out in the next 2 to 3 years, very likely, right? Most of these rookie quarterbacks, you look at last year's draft class, start right away. Baker Mayfield, an exception because Hugh Jackson's a fucking idiot. And Lamar Jackson, an exception because they already had Joe Flacco. And to be quite honest, and we still saw this late in the season, Lamar Jackson still had some passing mechanics he needed to master. Now, one of the things that pisses me off about this is I agree with you, right? With a little bit of a caveat. If you like your guy at 6, take him at 6. That's fine. But Dave, please shut the fuck up and stop trying to rationalize it to the media, to the Maras, to the fan base. Because every time you open your mouth, you come out sounding like an idiot. And I am not buying at all the fact he guarantees that there were two other teams that would have taken Daniel Jones.
No.
Because, and people are like, oh, well, you know, why is a GM going to come out and tell you what their board was? Guys, do you realize how many things get leaked throughout the course of the NFL draft, the process for like 2 or 3 months? It doesn't have to be the fucking general manager coming out and saying, oh, we actually like this guy better. There's scouts. There's other people within the organization who find out things after the fact, right? So if you just look at the draft board, knowing what we know now, New York Giants at 6, take Daniel Jones. Jacksonville Jaguars were not taking a quarterback because they had Nick Foles. Detroit Lions, not taking a quarterback because they had Matt Stafford. Buffalo Bills drafted Josh Allen last year. We're not taking a quarterback. Pittsburgh Steelers just extended Ben Roethlisberger. We're not taking a quarterback. The Bengals, maybe. The only possibility right there is the Bengals. Packers, Aaron Rodgers, no. Dolphins, absolutely not. They were in on Josh Rosen the entire time. The only question is what they were going to give up because the Cardinals backed themselves into a hole and Steve Keim is a moron. I can't believe how badly he fumbled that, the trade situation.
There has to be a whole episode of this podcast directed at Steve Keim.
There has to be.
And how big of an idiot he is.
There has to be, right?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Atlanta Falcons, no. Matt Ryan. Washington Redskins were in on Dwayne Haskins the entire
from
time.
From the start. From the
Carolina
start.
Carolina Panthers have Cam Newton. And if we go all the way back to 10, I just reading off a list and not even thinking. I said Pittsburgh Steelers at 10. They traded up for that pick. From Denver, who had Drew Lock as their number one quarterback on the board. Daniel Jones was their number three quarterback. That's been confirmed yesterday as well as today. So Daniel Jones was not going to be the pick at Denver. Okay. So the fact that, you know, there were two other teams that wanted Daniel Jones. No, if you wanted him, just say you wanted him and that's it. Have some conviction.
Right. That's what makes me angry about what Dave Gettleman is saying, because first of all, you don't know for a fact if there were two teams that were going to, take Daniel Jones before 17, because number one, no team shares their information with you. And number two, you don't see other people's draft board. So you can't say it's a fact. You can say it's an opinion and, you know, you might be right. You might be wrong, but to say it's a fact, you're lying. Number three. And this is sort of what my issue with Dave Gettleman is that he's the type of person that, well, he has done this, is that he constantly reminds you what he's accomplished. I've been to 7 Super Bowls. That's great. Jerry Reese won 2 Super Bowls as a general manager, and he hasn't reminded us nearly as much as you've reminded us that you've been to 7. Like, it's the guy goes into a room and tells you that I'm the smartest person in it. That reeks of arrogance, and that just gets more people agitated. Now, as regard to the comment he made that he knew for a fact, even if you knew that, even if, let's say, that was true, just say this was the highest rated player on our board. We had other players lined up similarly with him, but we believe that the value of the quarterback position is more important, and we took the quarterback. That's it. Don't sit here. If someone asks you, why couldn't you wait till 17? That's the answer you give. You know, and for him to continuously do this, it's almost like he feels the need to justify it when he really doesn't. And he did the same thing with the Saquon Barkley pick last year.
Yep.
Constantly throwing out the word generational. He has a generational personality. He has a generational work ethic. Like, just stop. He's a great player. You took him. Move on. Constantly doing this back and forth, it really just raises more concerns for the fan base and probably for people that are watching you inside that organization. Like, what are you even saying? So for him to constantly make these type of comments, it's really questionable. It makes me wonder if, you know, does this guy even know what he's doing? I mean,
well, I think we both know the answer to that, or we have our beliefs.
I mean, it's very simple. We had other players graded as high as Daniel Jones, but we value the quarterback position more. That's it. We took him at 6.
Yeah.
That's it. Next question.
That's all you got to say.
For you to sit there and try to act like you know more than anybody else, it's not true. So it's just so – he just says things that are almost – you know, like unbearable. It's like makes me want to cringe every time I hear it. Like just
between the accent and the stupidity, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I go back to our Peter Griffin comparison a few episodes ago with Will Brinson.
Oh my God. It's like, just stop.
One other thing that we disagreed on, and we can debate this a little bit, is how much of a hand John Mara and likely Chris Mara played in it being Daniel Jones, and whether or not we think Gettleman actually wanted to pick Daniel Jones.
I think he did, because I think that, like last year, he got what he wanted. And that's not to say that – see, I think the way this whole thing played out and is that ownership came to him and said, Dave, you know, we want a quarterback. We want to get a quarterback. But that doesn't mean that they said, go get Daniel Jones. That means, hey, Dave, we got 2 first-round picks. Let's try to get a quarterback with one of those 2 picks. And I don't think it was, a Daniel Snyder type situation where everyone else was isolated with the room and only Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen were in the room.
And I don't think it was to that extent, right? My whole rationale behind this, and I already know what you're going to counter with, is the fact that basically throughout the entire 2018 season, Dave Gettleman was drooling over Justin Herbert. They had scouts at like 7 or 8 of the Oregon games. Right. He went and saw Justin Herbert in person. Now, I get that it was on the Monday night game where they were playing the 49ers on the West Coast, and maybe it was just on his way there. Fact of the matter is, he still went out of his way. So did Kevin Abrams to go there and watch this guy in person. Mm-hmm. He's going out there, right, making it very well known. They're not very good at hiding who they like.
Right.
Scouting Justin Herbert. They had 7 guys there. They had fucking 3. They had scouts at 3 Washburn games. Right. The fact that he didn't even go to watch Daniel Jones in person and then uses the justification that he watched the tape, but what sealed it for him was the 3 series he took in the Senior Bowl. I mean, are you kidding me? And to talk about the Senior Bowl for a little bit, the fact that the Giants drafted the last 3 MVPs of the Senior Bowl, 2 of whom are quarterbacks that absolutely stink. I didn't realize this.
One of which is no longer on the team, by the way.
Right. I didn't realize this about the Senior Bowl because, to be quite honest, I don't pay very close attention to it until afterwards and I'm reading some of the scout write-ups. Do you realize how many restrictions are on the defense during the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, it's basically...
If you're listening right now and you're unaware of this, go to the Senior Bowl website and look at the rules. Only 4 rushers are allowed. There's no 5-man pressures or blitzes from the secondary. Linebackers and defensive ends are not permitted to switch positions. When you're playing zone, you can only pass cover 2 deep or 3 deep zone. The deep middle safety has to be aligned between the hash marks when the ball is snapped. These rules are lunacy. To use 3 series of an exhibition game in which the defense is basically handicapped as your rationale, it goes back to Dave Gettleman opening his mouth again. I mean, absolutely ridiculous, which is why I think between the fact that Daniel Jones went to Eli's passing academy twice, the David Cutcliffe connection, the fact that John Mara now realizes he wants a quarterback. I think that this, I get Dave Gettleman was probably on board with it. I think that he probably, if Justin Herbert was out, he wants Justin Herbert more than he wants Daniel Jones. But this reeks of John Mara having at least a little part of this.
Well, do you think that if Justin Herbert was in this draft, Daniel Jones will still be the number one rated quarterback on their board?
No.
That's why I think, you know, Dave Gettleman sort of orchestrated this. Just like he orchestrated the Odell Beckham trade. I think ownership signed off on it, and ownership is definitely intrigued. Hey, look, this is a guy that, you know, has ties to the Mannings because of the David Cutcliffe connection and all that. But I think that it was John Mara, it was Steve Tisch, it was the ownership group that said, hey, we have two first-round picks now. We want to get a quarterback with one of those two first-round picks. And I think Dave Gettleman scouted them. He was a guy. He's a film guy. I mean, you talk about he hasn't traveled to Duke to watch Daniel Jones. Well, he didn't go to Ohio State to watch Dwayne Haskins. He didn't go to Missouri to watch Drew Locke. He didn't go to West Virginia to watch Will Greer. And I don't believe he was at any of the pro days last year either with the quarterbacks. I know he wasn't at UCLA's. I don't believe he was at USC's pro day either. So I just think that with Gettleman, he's a film guy. So he does a lot of his, you know, analysis, a lot of his scouting, a lot of his, you know, decision making process comes from watching film.
Whether you
agree with that, that's what a GM should do or not. I'm not here to discuss that.
I mean, listen, but the viewing the guy in person to me is overrated, but in my opinion, the fact that even though it was on the way, the fact that he stopped there to watch Justin Herbert in person, to me, that's like, whoa, Dave Gettleman never watches guys in person. He's going to watch Justin Herbert.
Well, yeah, I think that if Justin Herbert was in this draft class, I think that they would have worked really hard to get Justin Herbert. But to me, that doesn't mean that, okay, Justin Herbert's on this draft, John Mara, you pick the quarterback. I think it's more so, okay, Justin Herbert's not in this draft class. Who's in it? Let's pick the best one on our board. And I think that based on Dave Gettleman's evaluation and ownership group signing off on it, and I'll say ownership's pressure to get a quarterback.
There we go.
I think Dave Gettleman took the highest rated quarterback on his board. But I don't think this was – you know, what happened with the Redskins with
No. I think we're coming to more of an agreement than we were earlier, right? This is not John Mara saying I'm taking over the process. It's going to be Daniel Jones. And this is the problem both last year and this year, right? Owners own, general managers manage. And the fact that John Mara is like, okay, we need a quarterback, you know, Dave Gettleman's going to be like, okay, we need a quarterback, even if the value might not be there at six overall. He's going to go out there and take the number one on his board. Now, whether or not we agree, about Daniel Jones being number one on the board, which we both don't, that's a different story.
That's what I don't agree with. But I will say this, like I said at the beginning, I thought that if they didn't take one at six, they shouldn't take one at all. So I agree with the philosophy of taking the quarterback at six. I just don't agree with the quarterback that they took.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So. But I think this was Dave Gettleman, based on his evaluation, we're taking Daniel Jones because he's the highest rated quarterback on our board, and you know, ultimately I think it's going to come down to whether or not Daniel Jones is the guy or not, because if he is, then Dave Gettleman's a genius. And we'll look back on this and we'll laugh at our old tweets and we'll laugh at all the reaction videos, sort of like what happened with the Knicks and Porzingis. Yeah. But if he's not, you know, then guess what? Dave Gettleman goes down as, I would say, probably the worst GM in New York sports history. Like, I don't know. Would there be someone worse than him? I mean, think about him coming in and let's say Sam Darnold becomes a great quarterback. And Dwayne Haskins becomes a great quarterback. And Odell goes to Cleveland and becomes successful.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like, is there a worse? No. Like, you have to look at the optics involved and everything.
Absolutely.
You know, like, would there be a worse optics than that? Like, for Dave Gettleman, like, he would probably go down. Like, he could never step foot in New York again. No. Maybe if he was, you know, celebrating, like, the Jets were honoring him for passing on Sam Darnold. Like, other than that, he could not step foot in New York.
Agree there. We both agree that Daniel Jones should start right away.
I'm going to say this. This was my whole point from the beginning, is the whole Eli factor. This is why I didn't think bringing back Eli Manning and taking a quarterback made any sense.
Right.
Because it rarely works out that way.
Yeah. I was burying the lead. I was burying the lead a little bit. Vegas has over-under. No, it's fine. Vegas has the over-under of weeks that Daniel Jones will – or no, sorry, games that Daniel Jones will start at 7.5. I absolutely love that under. You feel differently about the matter. You were eyeing the Cardinals game as game one for Daniel Jones. I really just don't – I can't – I want him to start week one. It makes no sense to be paying $30 million for one quarterback who's washed up and one that you spent six overall on and letting the guy you spent the six overall on riding the bench. I still don't see it happening.
So you don't see him starting until later in the season?
If at all.
Okay.
I will go on record with that. If at all.
I agree with you to an extent. This was my point about, you know, the whole Eli factor, is that this isn't like like Eli Manning is a placeholder, but he's not your average placeholder because he's a franchise legend. Like he's not a journeyman quarterback coming in and just warming the seat up until, you know, Daniel Jones takes over. This is not
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And yeah, this is my whole premise on why I thought the Giants should have moved on, is because if they took a quarterback high, which it seemed like they were planning on doing ever since the Senior Bowl, which was right after the Super Bowl, am I correct? That was like February.
Yeah.
It was before the new calendar year started. So you had made up your mind then that you were eyeing a quarterback, and you should have parted with Eli then. And then you would had, you know, a placeholder in there, whether it was Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tyrod Taylor or anybody else. Mm-hmm. And you could have had then your Daniel Jones, or, you know, if they would have taken somebody else at that time, who knows, ready to go. This is why it doesn't work out, because the whole Eli factor is that you don't want to disrespect him. You don't want to, you know, start unnecessary drama, put more pressure on the kid. You know, when is it the right time, like you say, to pull Eli Manning, his salary? Mm-hmm. Although I don't think his salary really matters that much. I just think it's more of what he's meant to the organization. What happened the last time they benched him? Now, the last time they benched him, they did it horribly because they did it for Geno Smith. But still, you still wonder what the fan reaction is going to be if Daniel Jones doesn't play well out of the gate.
Right.
Which, listen, I'm not going to hold that against him. I think this year's a wash. But I point to that Arizona Cardinal game, October 20th, at home, coming off, you know, they'll be coming off a Thursday night game against the Patriots, where they'll have 10 days to prepare. You can get Jones ready. And I think that's the perfect start date for him. I believe that's going to be week 2, 3, 4, 5, I want to say 6, 7. I think that's the perfect start date for him. I think, you know, at that time, looking at the Giants' schedule, they'll be maybe 2-4 or something. And at that point, I just think that the noise will be so big that, you know, ownership and possibly, you know, the coaching staff might be like, let's get this guy in the game. And I think it'll be a terrible decision to not play him at all and redshirt him this year. In today's NFL, you don't do that with the rookie quarterback. And I know people point to Patrick Mahomes, but that's a completely different situation. The Chiefs were coming off a 12-win season. They were in playoff contention. That was just completely different. We don't think the Giants are going to be in playoff contention this year. I don't know where you have them coming up to that Arizona game, but looking at their schedule, I see possibly 2 wins at best, 3-3. Yeah. And at that point, I mean, look, Eli got benched when the team was, what, 4-2,
mm-hmm.
right? I just think you got to play the kid. And I'm looking at that. I have that circled. I have the Giants schedule on my iPad, like, you know, as a wallpaper.
Yeah.
And I went in there and I circled that game. So it's like circled in red. And so to me, that's where I think Daniel Jones makes his first career start. If the Giants are who I think they will be in 2019.
Well, I mean, here's the problem. Like I agree. Like I do to an extent. Like I think you don't spend six overall on a quarterback and let him ride the bench at all. You throw him in there and you see what he can do. And we agree that next season is a wash. So to me, like, my question is, how do they handle the Eli situation? Because you can't do this whole Eli apology tour like they did last year and skip over a quarterback and then bring him back this year with a mediocre roster. I mean, go back to Archie Manning's comments. They got to make this roster better. Otherwise, Eli, I'd be fine with him retiring. And you're just going to pull a franchise legend for a majority of the season when they're 2-4, people at MetLife are booing. That's how you're going to leave his legacy? I just don't understand how they're going to handle it.
Well, again, there's no perfect way to end it.
There was. They fucked it up.
Yeah, there was. Exactly, there was. But I'm in terms of mid-season benching, there's no perfect way to do it. That was my whole point, is that you can't – it doesn't work that way. With Joe Montana and Steve Young, it didn't work. With Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't work. You have to part with the legend first, then get your heir apparent, right? Or when you get your heir apparent, you part with the legend before you start, you know, the young player.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants, they're playing with fire here. You know, they're playing with fire. Because the way I look at it is that, you know, and I hate to keep going back to this, but Sam Darnold's with the Jets, Dwayne Haskins is with the Washington Redskins. If those two quarterbacks are playing well and the Giants come out of the gate slow, the noise is just going to keep building up. People are going to keep
The AFC East could turn into Murderer's Row with Rosen, Allen, and Darnold.
Yeah, and I don't want to get away. Same thing with Josh Allen and you know, Josh Rosen, certainly now that the Giants have the opportunity to get him for the second time and opted not to, it's only going to get it. And you know what makes matters even worse is the Giants play the AFC East this year.
Yep.
So they're going to see Josh Rosen. They're going to see Josh Allen. They're going to see Sam Darnold. And I just look at it and I say to myself, the buildup, the noise is just going to get louder and louder. And unless the Giants start fast, which they haven't done since, you know, once.
Years.
Yeah. This, like we talk about it. We talked about when the schedule released and I said, hey, this is a 5-11 team to me.
I'm starting to agree with you. I hate my original prediction, by the way, because I really don't think they got better in the draft.
Well, what was their one weakness entering the draft was pass rush. They didn't have pass rush. Well, they got a third round pick. I can't even pronounce the guy's name, to be honest with you.
O'Shane Jimenez
in the third round, a guy from Old Dominion. Now, again, rooting for him, but I don't think he's a day one starter out of the gate. I think he's a situational pass rusher, you know. Now, so when you look at their pass rusher, what do they have?
Nothing.
They got Lorenzo Carter entering his second year. They got Marcus Gold. BJ, well, he's not an edge rusher.
That's fine, but he still had a good amount of sacks.
Yeah, he's a pass rusher, yeah. Marcus Golden on a one-year contract. He's not a great pass rusher. He's a good player. And then they have this rookie, the third round. And, I mean, who else? Am I missing somebody else? Who else do they have?
No.
You know, that's worth mentioning. So it's a tough situation when you can't rush the passer. They're going to have a lot of young guys in the secondary. The linebacker play is not good. The defense is still a major problem. And offensively, they still have a hole at right tackle.
Yep.
I think Mike Remmers is going to be signed in the next coming weeks. But this is still not a good football team. And I look at it and I say to myself, you know, you start slow, which I expect them to. There's nothing that tells me that they won't start slow. It's going to build up, man, and I just don't think you can sit him. This is not a third-round pick. This is not a fifth-round pick or a fourth-round pick, whatever.
This is number six overall.
This is number six overall. This is a guy you took in the top 10. He is going to play. He's going to play fairly early. I think Pat Shurmur said it best. It's going to be Eli's job. Now, I don't agree with what he said, but I think that he's sending a message like, hey, look, if things start bad, we're going to put this kid in.
Yep.
Now, they're setting up this roster for Eli to fail and them to just put the rookie in. But, man, this is going to be interesting because, you know, I'm telling you, man, it's playing the AFC East, seeing Dwayne Haskins twice a year, all that stuff will factor in.
Of course, the noise is going to be very loud. And if you think the Pat Leonards of the world are going to ease up and not harp on this all season long, I mean, hell, I'm going to be guilty of it too, because we were big quarterback and 18 guys.
I believe that if you take a player, any player in the top 10, that player should start from week one, whether it's a quarterback, a linebacker, a wide receiver, a running back, a pass rusher, it doesn't matter. You take him in the top 10, you should play him week one.
Yep.
That I just think that that to me, there's only so much he can learn from the sideline, and I don't want to say he can't learn anything, but nothing beats
experience.
Playing in a live game, nothing planes taking real life snaps. You know, the practice is great, the preseason is great, all that's great, but if he's not playing on the field, to me, he's losing out. So I believe he should play as soon as possible. If it's week one, week two, week three, the Cardinals game, whenever, he's got to play. I don't think anybody's expecting him to go out and be, you know, to just be a great quarterback from the get-go. I know there's a lot of people don't think he'll ever be a good quarterback, but he's got to play.
Has to.
Got to play.
All right, rest of the draft?
Yeah.
I didn't like it. surprise.
I will say this. With the number 17 pick.
Yeah, let's talk about this is what I'll Lawrence, say. Please.
Yeah. Because there was a whole other aspect of it. It was a number 17 pick. I like Dexter Lawrence
Me
as
too.
A player. Like,
not
he's
at 17.
A good player. Not even at the fact that he was a 17th overall pick. I just think that there were better players available. Like, I don't think you really maximize the value of the number 17 pick by taking Dexter Lawrence. I was a big fan of Andre Dillard, the offensive tackle that went to Philly. I thought that he is a guy that not only could step in and be a right tackle, but eventually take over at the left tackle position. So, to me, in terms of value, if you get a quality left tackle on a rookie contract, that's a win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
look at what left offense tackles are making this year.
Absolutely. Forget about left tackle, right tackle, any tackle.
Yeah, any tackle, exactly.
You basically traded Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon for Zeitler and a guy who's not even going to be on the field during third downs.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. You shipped off Damon Harrison and then drafted a guy 17th overall that you pray becomes 75% of the run stuffer that Damon Harrison is. I don't get it. I really don't understand. You just brought it up earlier about the fact that they have like zero pass rushers. This first round of the draft was bursting at the top with pass rushers.
I thought they had to be aggressive to get a pass rusher. I don't think they could have sat there and waited.
It doesn't help that Brian Burns went at 16, but
that's my point. They should have moved up.
Exactly. Absolutely. And yeah. I mean, listen, Dave Gettleman tried. The Steelers beat his offer for number 10. But still, you basically came out of the first round with two guys who at least week one, very likely week one, are not going to be on the field for third down. What the fuck is that?
He tried with Denver. But to me, moving up to 13 and taking either Brian Burns or Christian Wilkins would have been so much better value, absolutely, in my opinion. But again, you know, you like the player, you like what he brings to the table, but at 17, I thought if there was no pass rusher you liked there, I thought you could have traded down. You know, you could have traded with Houston or possibly if Denver wanted to trade up, or Tennessee, you could have traded back down, accumulated some more picks, because we saw there was a lot of talent still left on the board in the second and third round that you're like, wow, I could have seen this guy going in the first round.
Right.
So,
this goes back to Dave Gettleman thinking he's the smartest guy in the room, because while the entire NFL is building around the pass, and listen, kudos to him for building up the secondary, because I actually really like what the Giants secondary is looking like for this upcoming season. But last year, he's basically giving up on a franchise quarterback to take Saquon Barkley and then takes Hernandez in the second round. Fine, good player. Let's see if he can progress even more in year two. But again, building the run. And now this year, quarterback who's not going to start right away, 17th overall, a nose tackle who's there to stop the run. They have no pass rush to disrupt a very good quarterback. And they don't have a quarterback capable of burning you. And he's trading away Odell Beckham, so he's hurting the pass game. You basically are throwing Daniel Jones into a situation where Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Engram are his receivers. That's fine at best, but it's like he basically looks around at the direction the NFL is going and says, you know what, I'm smarter, so I'm going to build around establishing the run and stopping the run.
Let me ask you a question.
You need trenches to do it, but I feel like whenever people talk about, oh, you got to establish the run, well, there are plenty of teams that establish the run because they establish the pass first and they make you sit back on your heels and then they pound the rock.
Let me ask you a question. If you were the Giants, would you have accepted both of Houston's 2 second-round picks for number 17?
Yes.
54 and 55?
Yes.
And they took 17, but you didn't move down. You lose that 17 pick, you go to 54 and 55.
Yes.
I probably would have done it too.
Yep.
because you would have then went into the second round with 37, 54, 55,
yep,
and 95.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, rounds 2 to 4
had crazy value.
Yeah, crazy value.
I love that pick.
Greedy Williams. I know this Dalton Risner went 41st overall. Cody Ford, 38th overall. Yep. And then you looked at right at the start of the second round, you saw the cornerbacks come off and with I think it was Rakia Sin,
mm-hmm,
and Byron Murphy, and I think there was Sean Buttoning from Central Michigan, Trayvon Mullen from Clemson. So a lot of corners came off the board. Joe Juwan Williams. I just thought to get 54, 55, and then with 37 and 95, four picks on day two, to me, you know, I thought that should have been the move. And who knows, maybe Dexter Lawrence, you could have, you know, traded one of those seconds with one of your late round picks and got up into the first round to take, you know, Dexter Lawrence if you wanted to. But
yep,
I just think with the draft, especially one that like this, where there was not a lot of tier one players,
mm-hmm,
but there was a lot of tier two players, and like there was only certain amount of elite prospects, right?
Yeah.
Like there was Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Devin White, Josh Allen, Ed Oliver, and I'll throw in, you know, Devin Bush as well. But after those, you know, group of 6-7 guys, the rest could have gone anywhere between, you know, 10 or 20 or 15 and 30, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just thought accumulating more picks for the second round maximized your value to hit on more players. But you know, that's not something that Dave Gettleman likes to do. So that was my opinion on the Dexter Lawrence pick. In regards to the other first round pick that they traded up, DeAndre Baker,
mm-hmm,
at first I thought they probably could have waited, but looking at it now and looking at the wave of cornerbacks. Yeah, just before 37, where the Giants have been picking, there was two cornerbacks that came off the board. You know, so who knows? Maybe DeAndre Baker would have went 33 overall or 34 overall to either Arizona or Indianapolis. So I don't know. But that's my opinion on it. He was the best cover corner in the draft coming out by a lot of people. So we'll see. He looks like he has some dog in him, and I think the Giants need that with the cornerback position.
I like how you threw that in there, Georgia.
Yeah.
Listen, I really do like Baker. Of all the picks in the drafts, he's probably my favorite, honestly.
He's not my favorite.
Maybe my second favorite. Only I'll say Julian Love ahead of him, strictly for value purposes, because they did give up a lot to get Baker. But I think he fits Betcher's scheme really well. You're going to need those one-on-one cover guys when you're sending a lot of pressure, and you know the Giants are going to need to send a lot of pressure because they don't have an elite pass rusher. So to have him on the outside, and I mean, he can even play in the slot too, but we got to see if Sam Beal's ready for this year, because we could be looking at a pretty good secondary with Beal, Jenkins, Love, and Baker. That's pretty good. So I got to say I'm pretty happy with how the secondary is looking. The rest of the defense, not so much.
Yeah, I like the secondary. I like the DeAndre Baker pick in terms of value. I love the Julian Love pick.
I'm shocked he was there.
Yeah. Me too. I thought that he was like a guy that could have gone in the second round as well. I actually, believe it or not, I thought he was a better corner than Rakia Sin.
Okay.
I did, yeah. And I know people say he's a slot corner, but I could see him playing outside as well. So I like the Julian Love pick a lot. Another pick that I sort of did like as well was Darius Slayton, the Auburn wide receiver.
Okay.
He came to me when I read up on him, you know, after the draft. I didn't read much about him, you know, before, but he was a guy that played in an offense that really wasn't good, and primarily because the quarterback position wasn't good and the offensive line wasn't good. But he's got speed. I think he ran like a 4.3. He's got good size. So this is a guy that I think that they can, you know, move around a bit. He's one of those guys that Shermer would like. He's a guy who can play at slot, play outside. I think he's got to work on some of his route running. Talked about his hands are a little bit shaky, but I thought in terms of getting him in the, well, they got him in the fifth round. I think that's good value for a guy. I'm interested to see how he performs in the preseason and we'll see if he can earn himself some more snaps in his rookie year. But that's a guy that I would keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, well. You're going to be hard-pressed to find me getting hyped about anyone after the Julian Love pick. I mean, they basically got a bunch of special teamers between Connolly, who, shout out to Anders Lee, he's Anders Lee's cousin, the New York Islanders captain. Connolly, I mean, he's going to be a special teams player. Darius Slayton, fine. I mean, if he's got the speed to be
pro,
a gunner.
Pro Football Focus loves the Connolly pick.
Really?
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah.
That's fine. Darius Slayton, going to be a – go ahead.
I was going to say, the one guy that I'm rooting for a lot is Big George.
Big George.
The 7th offense tackle. Yeah.
Jai.
You hear about his story? That's an awesome story, man.
No, go ahead and tell
me. His mom worked 3 jobs,
okay,
4 hours of sleep, and he gets drafted by the Giants. Those are the type of people you root for.
Absolutely.
So I'm rooting for George. Interested to see how he plays in the preseason. He was the only offensive lineman the Giants.
Listen, I mean, it's bad that we're basically he's going to be the only competition for Chad Wheeler.
I think Remmers is coming.
Okay.
I think so. Just something tells me he's going to come somewhere between today or tomorrow and the start of mandatory minicamp. I think Mike Remmers is going to be
all right
in the fold.
Yep. And then Corey Ballantyne, obviously a very sad story.
Yes.
But
that was,
you know, should be expected to make a full recovery, and another guy who should be a pretty good special teams player.
Yeah, he was. They did talk about him when I read up on him.
Yeah.
That they do consider him to be a good special team ace in the future.
Yes, I've seen him. I've seen him spring some blocks on some kick returns that I really, really liked. So shout out to him. Hope he makes full recovery.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we got two Slaytons, Chris Slayton in the 7th round as well. Defensive tackle out of Syracuse. I know next to nothing about him.
All I know is he went to Syracuse, and yeah, that's about it.
That's about it.
Dave Gettleman loves defensive tackles, man.
It's bizarre.
Look in Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy loves defensive tackles.
Yep. I don't get it.
He's in love. What can I say? That's his
full bloom love.
Yeah. Well, let's say this. Well, looking at it now, right? Obviously, it's going to change. What grade would you give the Giants draft, top to bottom, based on how you feel about each player?
C minus.
That's where I am too. I'm around C minus, with the potential to go up to an A, obviously.
Obviously,
but yeah,
Daniel Jones is a home run. It's an A.
Yeah, they drafted 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players. Putting the Daniel Jones aspect of it aside, if they come out of this draft with 2-3 starters and Daniel Jones becomes a franchise quarterback,
mm-hmm.
it's an A++.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But they do have, I think, Dexter Lawrence and DeAndre Baker are 2 day one starters.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Julian Love can, you know, sneak in there too as a nickel.
Hey, listen, it never hurts to have depth in the secondary.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And again, like I said, it's a premier position.
Yeah.
If you hit on those, you got 2-3 corners on rookie contracts. I mean, that's great value.
Mm-hmm.
Great value for Definitely. Team building.
All right, let's get into some questions.
Sure.
From Alex, what week do you think Jones starts? You have him penciled in for Arizona?
Yeah, I think that's week 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say if I have to pick a week, I'll pick week 12 after the bye.
And that's me seeing it with, I didn't know the over under with Vegas. Vegas at 7.5.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I got him at week 7.
Okay. Actually, no, it wasn't weeks. It was just total number of starts.
Oh, total number of starts. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I got the over.
Yeah. Tyler, why should I watch any New York Giants football next season?
Well, they got a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
We got to at least see what he is.
Daniel Jones is the reason whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
From Monty, what brand of bleach goes down easiest? Clorox. From Eric, were you the Giants fan at the bagel shop who told Gettleman Jones was a good pick? No, that was not me. And I still am convinced that the person was talking about the bagel and not Daniel Jones. From Dennis, if Jones does well during training camp and preseason, would you be okay with starting him right away, or would you still let Eli start a few weeks? Start Jones ASAFP.
Yeah. Listen, Nobody sits nowadays, man. If they sit, it's only for 2-3 games.
Yep. From Jeff, soonest amount of time that passes before Gettleman is fired. What's like the earliest timeline you could see if everything goes wrong?
I will say after 2020.
Okay.
At the end of 2020, I think if it's an unmitigated disaster.
I agree with that.
But then, I mean, if it becomes such an embarrassment after this year, that's one thing I know about John Mara, man. He won't let it become a laughingstock. And people say it's a laughingstock already. I know that's what you said to me.
Yeah, it's exactly
but
what I said.
I think I think that he's waiting to see the results of the changes. Now, if the changes come out and they're still a laughingstock, then I think he'll step in. I do. I do think he'll step in. I don't think he can handle being a laughingstock. And now he doesn't have, you know, one of the biggest radio guys on his side anymore. Like, I'm ready for that beef, man.
GM Francesa is going to be an all-timer this year.
It's going to be interesting. I just can't wait for that episode where they announce that Daniel Jones is starting, and I want to see Francesa. He's already called them losers.
Yeah.
Like, he already said that the Giants are run by losers. I just want to see. I can't wait for that.
Try to see if Daniel Jones is a Hall of Famer. Does Gettleman deserve credit, or is he just lucky? That's from Andrew.
He deserves credit.
Well, both can be true.
Yeah, I mean, but no, I think he deserves credit.
Sure. Let's see. Who starts week one at right tackle?
Mike Remmers.
Okay, yeah, you're a big Mike Remmers guy this podcast.
I'm not a fan. I just think that that's where this is headed.
This is a good one. What's the bare minimum that you'd need to see out of Jones within the next 2 years to make you not want them to grab a quarterback in the next two drafts?
If he plays as early as week seven, like I think he will, this year will be a wash. But we have to, if he doesn't play well in his first year, which expected, I got to see major improvement in year two for me to even, you know, for this, for me to have a belief that we don't need to draft a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to give him one full season.
Yeah, you have
at
to.
At least.
Yep.
So over 500 in his first full year starting.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ridiculous to ask considering the rebuild, quote unquote, started half a year ago.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If his rookie year is a wash, but if his first full year starting doesn't go well and we don't see improvement, I think Gettleman is gone and the team is abysmal. I think Gettleman is gone. I think Shermer will be gone. And I think
Shermer and Betcher are going to be the first ones scapegoated, as much as I hate to say it.
I think it's a package.
Yeah, of course.
I know with all three of them, Gettleman, Shermer, Betcher.
I agree, because if a new GM comes in, he's going to want his own guys.
Right. So if all three of them go and they're picking high and the new GM comes in 2021, Trevor Lawrence, it's going to be hard to pass up on that.
Yeah.
Really hard. And if he's as good as everyone thinks he will be.
Yeah. That's it for the questions. Any final thoughts?
No final thoughts.
None.
I think this is our last episode for a while, right? I think there's like a break now.
Yeah, gotta be.
We gotta work out a schedule, you and I.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're not gonna leave the people high and dry.
No. I just think that a lot of times we get questions about when's your next episode, when's your next episode.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. 5 stars. Leave us a nice review. That's it. We'll talk to you guys soon. Daniel Jones or bust.
Yeah. Peace.